bill, perhaps that persistent little whatever it was, saying something seriously wrong and pay attention. And the hardest thing is to know there are warning bells going off all the time and realizing it might be an emergency, but it's not much we can do about it. Some of the clear bells that I'm hearing disturbing are some of the things I heard in the throne speech yesterday, some of the shenanigans that are happening in the elections that are happening right now. And also all the policies that have been put in place that are really destroying what has been built up for so long. And you know, hearing really inhuman stories of people trying to be newly immigrants to this country, or out of the war movement, and how we are finally hearing stories and hopefully pushing forward the technology, the truth and reconciliation, except there are still not, I guess we're not moving fast enough to really hear. And the potentials of what we could do. You know, the possibilities are all here tonight. We see it and we know it so well. And to listen and read what the readings were today, really quite, it fed my soul, because I love to hear such clarity of writing to say about that disassociation of nature and body. And to know awaken selves, and there's so many of us who are awakening to that, and it's so clear. And in a sense, the anger is a gift, because I can see the contrast so deeply, and I'm so sensitized to it now. So that even though it might be painful to feel a disconnect of how much could be healed, but is not being healed and is actually being destroyed, even to know the difference. It's a big step. But I really do have to practice, and that's where I found the meditative and contemplative practices that we have done with the groups gets me through the clenching and fatigue and biting of my tongue railing at whatever ranting. It's not healthy to keep it inside. There are lovely clearing energies out, and the meditation can do that. And just as Celine says about hugging a tree, literally walking on the earth or going in nature for me dissipates that as well. Not to say that, I guess to finish, it's important to acknowledge that anger and not sweep it aside or cover it, because that truly is such a powerful emotion and feeling and movement that if it's directed in a current, it can come back to be feeling quite effective and bring you. It's the most uncomfortable emotion, I would say, that people don't wish to acknowledge.
If you want to see a more positive throne speech, Elizabeth May has a green throne speech. So just, you know, type in Google green throne speech, or Elizabeth May, or Green Party of Canada, or whatever, you'll find in all of those. And just see what in fact you could be saying, which wasn't said. You know, I think the biggest concern of all Canadians is that your cell phone feeds are too high. That you've got 400 parts per million of carbon in the atmosphere, and you're crashing rivers, lakes, and waters, and disconnecting people and communities from the land. That's sort of a secondary logic basis. But your cell phone, that's it. We will now help the poor common folks, since we've been helping industry up to this term, but now in the last years before election, we will now focus on the main streets, and your real concern is telephone costs. So I hope you guys
One of the things Dietmar and I wanted to reflect on this evening was not just the body in particular as a topic, but the contemplative element in general. And I think before I ask you some questions, I wanted to share with you perhaps for me the most important part of why to add contemplation to university life is because there is an unbelievable power and energy inside each one of us that is really the hope for the future. And as we do the contemplative practices, you know, there's many exercises, but really they're all taking us towards attuning in to the deeper qualities, the deeper energies of compassion for each other, and the immense power that arises, very soft power, but the immense power that comes from that. And you could say half of contemplation is disentangling from negative cycles, outer and inner. And the other half is cultivating the positive cycles. And when we tune into that, then we tune into our capacity to create very different worlds. And the Spirit of the Land course and conference and all of that is one example of taking a step back from university life and imagining, well, what could be, and then creating it. And so rather than fighting against a million things, responding to the inspiration of imagination, of love, of joy, of connection, and then building a world out of that. And I can think of no better example than like the forest garden. There's no fight, there's no enemy, there's a sense of joy, a sense of connection, and building the world that we want to live in. And that's so inspiring and so feels so right. Perhaps one of the greatest obstacles that's holding us back is our fear of the unbelievable freedom of possibility that gives us. It's much easier to have an enemy than to struggle against, because it kind of keeps us on the same plane. But what we're really called towards is to create the enlightened world that recognizes the connections and lives out of those connections. And once we do that, then we're actually already there. There's no fighting to be done. There's just living out of that space. And it does bring some fears. I was very afraid when the idea came. The window opened and it said Spirit of the Land, and I thought, nope, don't want to go there. But life draws you to it because, well, it feels right, and then many people come to support because they're connected to that same sense of understanding, of connection, and then a whole new world unfolds that you kind of just journey through and into, and who knows what will come next. Like, we're just making this up as we go along. I don't know if you noticed. But then it's fun, it's exciting, it's an adventure. It's an absolute adventure where you actually don't know the ending. You have no clue what will come next. And Hans and Allison, who just left, are sharing this inspiration of the Alberta Voices Project, where, as many of you know, we saw last year that landowners didn't have a voice in this space. So we got together and said, well, we'll do it, because we think that's important. And it's not, it doesn't feel like we're fighting anyone. It feels like we're creating the space that we want to live in. And we all have that amazing power that is ours to take and ours to live all the time. And that doesn't come from the consumer story, which is a story of deficit, where you are lacking, therefore you need a good cell phone connection. I think this other story comes as a sense of abundance and gratitude, where we live in this amazing interconnected universe where our very breath is a gift that we didn't earn, we didn't have to get a good grade for. It just comes to us, gives us life. And once we start living out of that space, which is a truer story than the story of consumption, life becomes magical, adventuresome, exciting, interesting, joyful, connected. So that's really the heart of a contemplative life. It's about life itself and recognizing life and living out of the gift of life. So that said, we wanted to ask how this portion was going, whether there are ways of improving it. This is, we're sort of at the halfway point of our class, and if there's anything that we can do to support you or add to your knowledge or shift or change, should we take it out if that's something that you wish. So I thought, and did Mark, can you let me know how much time?
We have one minute of time. But I was wondering whether, in fact, that conversation is best done in, you know, in pairs and then in 4 hours. People actually have a bit more time. Not everybody's equally comfortable with 30 people here. I mean, 30 unodd people.
Odd.
Definitely.
Odd. Absolutely.
Me too.
That was exactly my question, because I thought maybe people could write something.
Yeah.
So they had time to do it in themselves and then share with the partner and move from there.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make sure you're clear what's being asked of you. Well, to reflect on the contemplative element of this project, and I don't want to be too specific because windows will arise for you that I want to be kind of get you going in a general direction. So basically, how has this been going? how's it going in this space? Is there anything that you would like more or less of? Any? That's probably enough. Is that enough?
Mm-hmm.
So take a few minutes to think about it yourself. You don't necessarily have to write. If that's helpful, then do so. However long you think is good for you, and then find someone to share, and then share in a smaller group. Just let it happen organically.